following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Coming to you from the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios at Halas Hall, Zach Zaidman, pleased to be joined by the longest tenured Bear in the history of the franchise that began 93 years ago this week, as the Decatur Staleys talking about the veteran long snapper Patrick Manley. And for the full hour, boy, are we in for a treat. There are few guys who can entertain more than the starting free safety of the Chicago Bears, employee number 47, Chris Conti. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
This is a big week.
It's a big week, yep. Yeah. Bounce back week, so it's big for all of us.
You got a big test with Drew Brees and the rest of the guys?
Yeah, big test. I mean, they're going to throw that ball up, push it deep to Colston, and they got a couple fast guys, and Jimmy Graham, guy that can go up and get the ball. So they got a few guys that are really going to test us, and they always have a running back in Sproles that's really good, too.
How nervous are you guys about the different setups or different formations they can do, and how much does that put extra time in for you guys to prepare for, or is it just we're going to stay the same Bear defense that we are, and we're going to just execute?
Yeah, we don't change much. As you know, we kind of do what we do. They have a lot of different personnel groupings, but it's more based off of looks. So they can be in any sort of personnel, but more of what they're lined up as, kind of take it by formation instead of reading into personnel too much.
And obviously pressure up front will be huge for you guys in the back. That
huge,
we need to get some more pressure this week.
Rush and cover is the way it works. Rush and cover.
Yeah, that's the key to success for our defense, obviously.
Zach Zaidman, Patrick Manley, joined by Chris Conti for the full hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Take us onto the field when you're facing a guy like Drew Brees, because he does such a great job of manipulating defensive backs, safeties in particular, and the Bears defense is all about discipline and not getting fooled.
Yeah, the big thing for us as safeties, though, is we read the quarterback, playing cover two. What we do is, we're all on the quarterback, and his ability to manipulate safeties with a look off, he knows where he's going to go with the ball, and he has free range to just throw that thing up there whenever he wants. So they have the mentality that they're going to throw interceptions, but they're going to give their guys a chance to, go up and get the ball and make big plays, and they kind of live off the big play. So they're going to take their shots deep, and we just have to be disciplined and not really get manipulated too much by the quarterback.
How much more comfortable are you now that you're a veteran of this defense that compared to year one and two of reading that and seeing that and the number of times you've seen it before?
Yeah, we were just watching film. I think when we played them in 2011 down there in New Orleans, I was a rookie. It was the second game of the year, and I came in for like one play. And they threw the ball deep for a touchdown. So I feel like hopefully I've grown a lot since then, and yeah, we'll be able to do a lot better than I did on that one play.
Well, I think you have a whole lot. Yeah, it's what we've seen as teammates of you has been great. It's been seeing a young, fast rookie turn into a very good veteran now, which is great for us.
But go back to that play, because it was – I mean, it's one of those things where you're –
Are you sure he wants to, though?
But here's the thing. I mean, look at the growth. You don't want it to happen again, right? Yeah. And clearly you learned from that play, because you've continued to be a starter.
The thing about being in the NFL that you learn quick is you'll be humbled very many times. Just last week, going against a guy like Reggie Bush was a very humbling experience for me. Just things that you learn from. And whenever, you think that you've got it down, you can't get comfortable. You have to really stay on top of your game and keep on working on things. And for me, it made me realize I can't hesitate. I got to keep on running my feet. I got to work on my tackling. I can't just assume that going into the games on Sundays that I'm going to be a good tackler. I have to really work on it during the week. So there's always going to be things that humble you and bring you back to, really working on the things that got you to where you are.
You know, what I find interesting is that Julius Peppers was asked this week about what the Bears can do to prevent missed tackles. And he just smiled and said, tackle better.
Exactly. It really is just that simple. There wasn't anything that we did to, you know, it was us. There wasn't scheme-wise. There wasn't anything that was, you know, they were doing better than us. It was just individually we missed tackles. And really something that I don't know, you can work on it in practice, but really it's, you know, it's an individual thing where you got to take the time and be like, hey, I'm going to make sure that I take the right, you know, footwork and steps and technique, and I make sure I get this guy down.
Now, to be fair, because a lot of people don't understand, you guys were in a lot of 8-man fronts, which is the specific defense designed to stop a running game, and yet there were those missed tackles. So when you say, I was doing this extra work this week, what do you do to kind of make yourself more proficient?
Well, I think
tackling?
It just brings attention to it, something that, you know, you're going to focus on, and we did drills and just little things to work on, you know, keeping our feet moving and stuff like that. But yeah, in an 8-man front, really it's designed, you know, you're bringing 8 guys down so you can stop the run. But sometimes it's almost, you know, it can be bad because in an 8-man front, if you miss a tackle, then the guy's breaking it for a long gain. So in cover 2, at least you have 2 safeties and you have corners that have eyes on the quarterback, and they're not in man coverage or playing a deep zone. So you actually have more guys, you know, responding and reacting to the ball carrier.
Well, going back to tackling, I'll bring it back to our side of special teams. That when you're having issues, like we're not covering as well, and he's talking about not tackling as well, I feel like you got to go back to the fundamentals like he's talking about. Just go back to work, start from the beginning of the things you did, you know, at the beginning of training camp, rework those. You don't have to work them for hours, but just mental reminders or just a couple mental reps or a couple physical reps. And I feel like being a pro, you can step up your game and just kind of remind yourself and be ready to go and make sure it doesn't happen
again.
It's
almost just a mental thing where it's more just, you know, going back to it mentally and just saying, hey, I got to, you know, prepare myself mentally on this and just making yourself more aware of it. Yeah. It's not so much.
I've got to do it. Don't exactly. You got a plate of a million things. But you've always got to cover every checklist and every play, and you just got to remind yourself that.
Man, there's so many questions I have based on that last game against Detroit, because I think those are lessons that can help you win this week against the Saints. Very similar team. So we'll discuss that next with Chris Conti. Patrick Manley's along. I'm Zach Zabeman. Keep it locked in right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Celebrating 150 years as the First National Bank of Chicago, Sunday's game is brought to you by Chase, the official bank of the Bears since 1934. The first 30,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears Chase scarf. Zach Zabeman, along with Patrick Manley, and our guest for the hour, Chris Conti, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, broadcasting from the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios at Halas Hall. Can we talk a little bit about special teams?
Yes.
Because I think we're seeing things that we haven't seen in a while.
We're not used to it either, trust me. It's not a fun room to be in right now.
I mean, Pat, 3 straight games where a big play has been allowed.
It's normally one of those a year. And it all comes down to us as players. We just got to execute better. And like we were just talking about tackling, the little things. We got to take care of the little things first. And once you work on those, you'll be able to execute and everything will be just fine. It's a lot of things from, you know, Adam's not happy with his punting, to even the punt that wasn't his best punt last week. We had 2 guys that were there. We didn't cut off the field right. We lost contain. And it's not one guy. It's, you know, it's a punter, and then we got 10 guys covering. So it's an 11-person job, and we're not doing it.
And I think that is such a big deal, because when the defense takes the field, and I think this was a problem in Detroit, the Bears defense, and Chris, you can elaborate on this, for you guys to be successful, you need that opposing offense to have the full length of the field. Because the more they put the ball up in the air, the greater the chance for a takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that our defense has proved that, you know, the more opportunities that we have are more opportunities for turnovers and creating scores on defense. So really more field to work with just means more opportunities. And that's kind of something that we've lived off of, you know, in the years past and this year so far.
But that's our job as special teams. We're supposed to make the field position flip or change or keep it if we have it, and we haven't been doing that, and we've been putting them on their heels and we need to make a change.
You know, when you look at the fact that the Bears as a team giving up 28.5 points per game, everyone focuses in on the defense. It's more than that. It's a team game.
It's a turnovers. We've given up turnovers for touchdowns. We've given up a kickoff return for touchdown and field position where you set up our defense for short field. And that leads to points.
Yeah, I was asking some players about 28.5 points per game. That's just unheard of in this building.
Yeah, it's not right. We got to fix it.
All right, but Darren Sproles, tremendous challenge, both as a defense and on special teams.
I'll describe him well. Mark Trestman word, he's very dynamic. He is. He can do everything. He's a guy that, you know, he actually uses his size to his to help him. He's a small guy. He gets lost in a crowd. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he's shooting out the back end of it. So that's something we've just got to, on special teams, we've got to, you know, rally to the ball. And as we talk, a population tackle, get everybody the ball and put a hat on him. And defense, I'm sure it's the same for you guys.
Yeah, he's a guy that once he gets going, he's, you know, he's got those little legs that just keep on moving. So he's an interesting guy, almost kind of like a Maurice Jones-Drew type guy, but maybe even faster. He's a great return guy, but as a back, you know, the same thing that Pat was saying, he can get lost just with his size, and he definitely, I think, uses that to advantage. It's like, you know, a little bowling ball that, you know, has legs.
Yeah, he's got power. He's not a little guy you put a hand on, he falls over. He's got power.
So you have one of the smallest players in the league in Sproles. Then you got one of the biggest in Jimmy Graham. And I don't know. I think everyone in the league has tried something different to try and stop him. And I'm sure you have all the scouting reports in the world because of Aaron Cromer and Jermon Bushrod in what to do. But am I crazy in thinking, and you kind of have to recalibrate your brain here if you've been following the Bears for the last 9 years, but I think the best defense the Bears have is the Bears' offense.
Yeah, you keep them off the field. If our offense can move the ball and keep Drew Brees and our offense off the field, then we're doing our job.
Yeah, and also it always comes back with us to pass rush. If we – can get in Drew Brees' face.
Possible, though?
It has to be. It needs to be. Because really, you know, giving him time is what is going to hurt us. So hopefully, you know, we can get to him and put some pressure on him and get it, you know, put him on his back.
But just a second, that I agree, because he's so accurate as a passer to anybody. And then you watch the throws to Jimmy Graham, the jump balls. He puts the jump ball only where he can rebound it. You know what I mean? He might even have a big corner on him. And it's just where Jimmy Graham can get it. So if you can get to his feet, get around him, get him moving around.
Affect the throw.
Yeah, just affect the throw.
You know, it's kind of the luxury that Jay Cutler now has with the size and skill of some of the players on offense now, Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett, and Alshon Jeffrey. Zach Zaidman, Patrick Manley, Chris Conte, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I want to hit something that you guys talked about earlier about tackling and how it becomes a mental thing. Pat, when you entered the league, you could practice a lot more throughout the offseason and even during the year. So have you noticed a change? Did you guys practice tackling more because there were more contact drills back when you first started?
Yeah, I guess that was just part of practice was tackling. So, yeah, you definitely was more tackling because it's – the other thing is we had two practices during training camp. Now we have one. And then this the way it was in the late 90s – or early 90s late 90s, early 2000s. Practices were physical Wednesday and Thursday, and there was live tackling. So there were more reps of tackling. So I wouldn't say we were better at it, but we got more reps at it.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that people have to understand, because I know there are people listening going, well, why don't they do that now? Why don't they practice tackling? You want to stay healthy. Mm-hmm.
The key is to having if you can have the healthiest 53 or 46 dress on Sunday, you have a better chance to win. And I think stats have proven that, and you want to, like you said, you want to keep guys healthy.
They say you learn a lot about a team after a loss. It's easy to be good and feel good and play well after wins. After a loss, what do you learn? And you've been around, I guess the question is for Pat, because you've been around this way too much in your career. But...
Well, I'll answer it real quick. It started actually in the second half of last week. We were down big. And I've been on teams where we folded that second half and got blown out and just got on the bus and went home and said, all right, let's see what we can do next week. We played our butt off the second half. We almost, you know, I've seen crazy things in 2001 where games like that, we came back and won. Mm-hmm. So it was good to see us fight. I think it started then. And then this week, Wednesday, everybody came to practice with a great attitude. I think the attitude's the big thing when you walk on the field on Wednesday. And then the effort through practice. And we had a lot of good effort and a great attitude.
What was said at halftime in the locker room?
I don't really remember specifically, but pretty much
He just said, guys, this is a tough situation we're in.
Yeah.
We aren't going to go 16-0. We're not saying now. And he didn't say it. How did he say it? He put it. This was going to be a situation that would probably come up during the year. Let's see how we respond to it.
Yeah.
We're down 17-0, and let's go to work. And that's pretty much what he said.
And he seemed genuinely pleased with the way you guys responded in that second half.
I think everybody should be. I know it's a loss, but a loss is still a loss, and you're upset. But the way we responded in the second half says a lot about our team.
Coming up, we got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we're going to lighten things up and get to the highest rated segment of the radio program, and that is, are you a Bears authority? And Chris Conti has had some experience playing this, and he almost always has had to rally from behind to try and win.
I've done all right.
Yeah, so we'll test him against the longest tenured Bear in the history of the organization, Pat Manley. That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Back inside the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios at Halas Hall, this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. Zach Zabin, Patrick Manley, Chris Conti here for the entire hour. And guess what, guys? It is time to
game time?
The festivities.
Oh, no.
Game time.
We got the buzzers going. We've got some prizes. I mean, this is the listener participation part of the program. It's called Are You a Bears Authority? And it's brought to you by Sports Authority. Here's how we play. I ask a question. If you know the answer, you hit the buzzer. When do you want to do it right now? Just
I'm up 1-0.
All right, so whoever hits the buzzer first gets an opportunity to answer the question first. If you don't get it right, the other player gets an opportunity to answer the question. It's a best of seven, so whoever's got the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, Patrick, you're going to be playing for John Olson from Wheaton. Chris, you're going to be playing for Phil Cardona from Chicago. And if you're listening right now and you want to play a future game, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN, click on the Bears All Access page, where you can also listen to all of our shows. Ready?
Ready.
Let's do it.
Question number one.
I got to start thinking now. Darn it. All right.
All right. You better be thinking nonstop because, I mean, Conti, he went to Cal.
I
mean,
I know. It's not Cal Duke. Versus Duke. Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, this is a major brain matchup here on the show. Bears offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer coached for the Saints from 2008 to 2012. What NFL team did he coach before that?
Oakland Raiders.
Patrick, that is incorrect. Chris, you get an opportunity to answer the question.
I don't know. I don't know why I would think this, but the Cardinals.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Can you finish the question?
From 2005 to 2007. Now, if using the Duke brain, there was a head coach in Oakland who made his way over to
Tampa Bay,
and that would be
the answer.
Yes. Okay. And
I was close.
Now,
but I had one of them right.
You
he
did.
Was in Oakland,
right?
Not the
and,
last
and Cromer has Cromer has a prior relationship with Mark Trestman from Oakland. Very successful offense. They went to the Super Bowl back in the 2002 season, if I'm not mistaken. All right, question number two, still tied, scoreless here on the show. It's a defensive battle. Question two: which one of the following jersey numbers is not retired by the Bears? 7, 42, 50, 61. Chris.
You say 42?
I did say 42.
Okay.
That is incorrect.
That is incorrect.
50.
Correct.
51, huh?
Now, why would he know that answer? When you look at the guys playing in front of you, Chris, James Anderson.
He's looking at the quarterback.
Yes, James Anderson wears number 50. Now, it's a number that used to be worn by Mike Singletary.
Yes.
Singletary, during the offseason, gave his approval, believe it or not, for James Anderson to be wearing number 50 this season. The Bears will no longer retire any more uniform numbers, except one more in December.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Ditka will get his number 89 retired during halftime.
Dustin Lyman?
Yeah. Matt Spaeth,
yeah.
Who you had a chance to see earlier this season. You know, which is a shame because, you know, Urlacher with the number 54,
sure.
That will not be
That's
retired.
An iconic number.
Yeah, 50s, you know, and 65 will not be retired. Although I do have to point out that since Mike Ditka visited you guys in the summer, the Bears are two games above 500 in games that count. So he does have a magical effect on you guys.
It's the mustache.
What was that like, by the way?
It was pretty cool. I mean, it's just cool anytime you see even a former player or just the old icons come around, because they mean so much to the city, they mean so much to the organization. It's just pretty cool to see.
And you're not being facetious. I think a lot of people don't realize.
Like, we don't get to see them a whole bunch. I wish a lot of the guys would come back more. I don't know if they're allowed, or it would be good to see them because there's so many.
Do you remember what he said?
Yeah. I mean, I remember him just talking about the most important thing was, you know, the locker room and that Chicago was the greatest city in the world. And if you win here, they'll take care of you forever. So
that's exactly it.
That is true.
It's true. Yeah, that's very true.
There'll likely be a burger joint in Lincoln Park called Manley's if you guys ever win a Super Bowl. All right, question number three. And by the way, right now it's a 1-0 lead for Pat over Chris here on Bears All Access. Question number three. What year did Bears offensive tackle Jermon Bushrod get drafted?
Pat. 07.
Correct. Oh. Manley, a commanding 2-0
lead. We just
lead.
Asked him that on the bus last week.
No way, really?
On the way to the game. Yep.
Boy, the Saints were gushing about what Jermon Bushrod meant to them this week over the years. Helped them win a Super Bowl. He was a major part of that offense.
Player.
Question number four. Name the only player on the Bears' current 53-man roster whose last name begins with the letter H.
See, I hate these questions.
I mean, you know, one of you could hit the buzzer.
I've played
here.
With so many people.
Yeah, but there's one right now. I'm going to give you 3 seconds for someone to hit the buzzer here. Three.
I can't do these questions.
Two. He's one of the best players in the history of the organization. Three, two, one. Pat.
It is on our team.
Yeah. Three, two, one. And when he finds out.
I'm drawing a blank. I know. Why am I drawing a blank? Everybody's probably going to laugh at me right now. That's all right. Go ahead.
That's it.
You can laugh at me.
He is a guy who plays your position. He's a specialist. Devin Hester.
Hester.
I mean, how do you not know? You guys, again, I've always made this joke, but you guys listen to Pearl Jam together.
We hang out together now.
Do you really? When it's you, Podlish Gold, and Hester, has he changed some of the things that you guys do as a
group?
Our
conversations are different, for sure. It's not just your typical kicker conversations. Yeah, they've changed.
What? Like what?
Oh, God, I'd rather not tell. Don't keep that between ourselves.
Has he taken you for a spin in that fancy yellow
old school? That's one thing we do talk about cars and stuff.
Yeah, that's all souped up with the hydraulics, with the huge wheels.
I haven't been in that yet, no.
But you want to be.
Oh, I do.
All right. Still a 2-0 lead for Manley over Conti.
How many more questions got?
Remember, it's a best of seven. We still have three more. So you have an opportunity here. It's crunch time. Hey, are you a fourth quarter player? We're about to find out. Question five. Name any player on the Bears' current 53-man roster that played his college ball for the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Matt Slauson.
Correct.
Zach Bowman.
Yep.
Is that extra credit?
It Mike doesn't
Brown.
Matter. You clinched. You clinched victory.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, the victory goes to Patrick Manley because there's absolutely no way in a best of seven that Chris Conti can come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. What
too
a.
Bad.
Sorry about that, Chris.
Yeah. So I'm not going to read the other questions. We'll save it for another game. But I want to congratulate John Olson from Wheaton for winning a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of the Duke grad. Patrick Manley. We got to take a time out. When we come back, we'll get back to speaking of the conversations that you guys have on special teams. What's it like when you have the Bears version of Ebony and Ivory at the safety position with Chris Conti and Major Wright? They are tight, but it's a different kind of relationship. We'll discuss next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman, Patrick Manley, our guest for the hour, Chris Conti here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're coming to you from the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios here at Hallis Hall. All right, let's kind of get to the bottom of how in the world you and Major Wright, you know, one's West Coast, the other's from Florida. One's black, one's white. You know,
really?
I mean, you guys are as different as can be, yet you guys are tight.
Yeah, we get along great. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but we just have this. You know, we connect on some level. I don't know what it is, but we get along pretty well.
Do you guys hang out socially outside of?
Yeah,
more just
you know,
here in...
we hit up the club together.
No, but seriously, you do? Like, is it...
No, we do. We hang out.
Wait, you hit up the club together? Seriously?
We have been to the club before together.
Who's the wingman? Who's the guy that initiates conversation?
Who initiates conversation?
Yeah, who initiates conversation?
Me and Major like very different types of women, so I don't know if there's a wingman kind of relationship going on.
You're both flying solo?
We're going solo on that one. It's more of a bro hangout when we're together. We drink from different wells when it comes to that.
Who picks up the tab at the end of the night?
I mean, not me, because I'm not, you know, the best at that. That's why I like hanging out with Henry Melton, because Henry likes to take care of everyone when he goes out.
It's a good man.
I'm not gonna say I'm franchise. Cheap, but
you're frugal. I'm frugal.
And I'm I like to be smart.
Yeah, I hear you.
If I don't have to pay for it, I'm not gonna pay for it.
I'm frugal. I'm the way. Just call yourself frugal.
You know, knowing
not cheap.
Sounds better. Knowing Melton, the little that I know him of, I mean, he's the kind of guy that would use crutches now. As a sympathy prop.
And I'm sure he has.
Well, trust me, it's going to be a couple weeks before he gets out, because that ACL surgery is not fun.
Man, you went through it. Yeah. I mean,
the 2 weeks after that, I already told him, it's just the 2 weeks is hell. Then after that, it's a long road, but those first 2 weeks is just not fun.
When it happens, mentally, do you just go crazy on the field? Because there's nothing more serious that can happen to a football player other than, you know, the crazy stuff than an ACL injury.
Honestly, when it happened to me, I kind of went blank, and then they do the test on the sideline. They're like, yeah, you probably tore your ACL. Then I go to the MRI, and I'm like, maybe it's not torn. Maybe it's not torn. Maybe they're wrong. Mm-hmm. But they're 99% right. And then after that, to me, is when I was like, blank. You know, I was pretty distraught, especially going into year 13, not knowing if I was going to play anymore was probably the hardest part.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll never forget the 2007 season opener. You guys had just been on a Super Bowl run. Mike Brown had spent the entire year, and he got hurt in that Arizona game, that Monday night football game, and it killed him that he couldn't participate in the Super Bowl, but rehabbed the daylights out of that knee. Gets back, 2007, gets hurt in the season opener. I remember seeing him in the locker room. He's crying. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a devastating injury, and you never wonder. I mean, I guess you're always wondering. You never know if you're ever going to be the same as a player physically.
I think you always wonder that. And the thing to me is the amount of work you put in to come back and then to get injured again, I think that's the hard part. Because you reap the benefits of your hard work. Lucky me, knock on wood, that I've been able to play after I've rehabbed my knee. But I can't imagine coming back after all that work I put in and then getting injured again.
Do you feel the same as you did before?
I'd say it's a couple percent less, but it's not bad, but I feel pretty darn good. I've got all my extension and all that stuff, but it'll never be 100% like people always say, but it's still good enough to play.
So do you think if you were a skill player, like a wide receiver, do you think that it would affect you more?
I do, but I think if I was younger, it wouldn't be that big of an issue.
Yeah.
So I do, it's there. And part of it is the mental hurdle. I think, I think Derek Rose talked about it. It's the mental part of it.
Trusting it,
putting all your pressure on that knee and cutting. And once you do that, a couple hundred times, you're good.
Now, you did not worry about facing double teams, though.
No.
Like Derrick Rose.
No, or my crossover. I didn't have to worry about that, no.
I like how Chris said, do you think it would affect a skill position guy more? Eliminating.
No, it's true, though. See, that's it's not going to offend me. It's true, though, because it's like Mike Brown, or we had Bobby Engram years ago. And it does. It takes a guy. They say it takes, 18 months to come back to be fully healed, and I would agree with that. You can play, but you're still not the same player. And the biggest thing is getting over that mental hurdle of the injury.
We're talking with Patrick Manley. I guess Chris Conte is interviewing Patrick Manley. Yeah. I love the switch in the show, man. Pat, it's contagious. It's great here.
It's
so
like, it's like Step Brothers.
Makes bunk beds.
Was there a time back when you played for the Staleys? Did you guys have bunk beds during training camp?
We still do. I make sure I have one every year.
So the different types of women that you and Major Ryder are into.
Why are we going back to this?
I wasn't going to let it slide. Are you talking about looks or personality?
Everything. looks. Most likely personality, too.
Is it hard being single in the National Football League? Because people know, especially in this town where people are so aware of what you guys do.
I mean, I don't think to say it's hard is the right word. I mean, it depends on what you're looking for, what your priorities are. It could be easy, but if you're looking for, a good, solid relationship, it can be difficult. Yeah.
All right. I got to flip. Who's the best dress when you got? Do you go Cali style? Do you wear like.
I keep it pretty low-key. Pretty California.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll wear some jeans and a nice t-shirt.
Yeah. Some flip-flops with the jeans.
And a nice hat.
Yeah. Is Major all dolled up? And...
Oh, yeah. But I keep it pretty simple. Yeah. That's kind of just the way I am.
Callies. I had a roommate in college that was from Southern California, and you guys remind me, or you remind me of him very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a special type of person.
In your time in the NFL, Pat, what's the strangest, group of friends that you've ever seen? Like guys that you just would never think would click because they're so different, but yet they're best friends.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Let me think about it. I don't know. It's just,
why don't you think about it?
We'll
take the break. We'll give you a little bit of an opportunity during the commercial. We'll come back and recap, get this answer, because it could be a great answer.
Who knows?
Oh, I can't wait. Yep. That's coming up next. Patrick Manley with answers inside the locker room next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 a.m. and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows.
Very smooth. That's Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Zaidman. Yeah,
impressed.
Good job, Pat. Congratulations.
My brow.
Maybe we'll have you do another one.
I can read.
You really did go to Duke.
Well, that's from reading all those books at night to my daughter. I'm getting better at it.
There you go. Nice work. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios at Hallis Hall, broadcasting on Sports Radio 670 The Score. All right, so the strangest group of friends.
I wouldn't say it's a group, but it's a couple, I would call them. Was Big Cat Williams and Bobby Engram when I first got here to see a big giant lineman and a receiver, and they were inseparable. They were best friends because now, I'd go into an offensive line room when I was younger here. I'd go to those meetings, and the O-line just kind of, waddles around the building all together. And then to see those two, Big Cat would hang around the O-line, but also with Bobby all the time. So that to me, I was like, oh, that's just, it was different. That was probably the biggest, most different one I've seen. But those guys are great people and best friends.
That is pretty cool because when you think about it, for the most part, you're always going to be friends with someone in your position group mm-hmm. because you spend so much time together in the meeting rooms. Where do the specialists hang out? When everyone else is...
We just sleep during the day while they're in meetings.
play around at golf.
Yeah, we play golf. No, we hang out in the weight room. That's what, I don't think these guys know that we sit in the weight room and stretch and work out. And
so you're not allowed to work out. You're not allowed to work out when the position players are in there.
We try not to, yeah, so we don't get in their way.
Really?
No, if it's a team workout, we will, but on like Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, if they have their designated time to go, we've already got ours out of the way. So we hang out in the weight room or in the training room on the couch playing Candy Crush or something.
Man, who spots for I'm guessing Devin is probably in.
Devin's in the weight room more than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he's working out like a madman.
And it's driving him crazy. He wants to return one, but he doesn't get opportunities. Him crazy.
No, yeah, and I think, as the weather gets colder, he'll get more. And he keeps his – just keep positive, and we keep plugging away on return schemes. We'll be all right. He'll get a few.
Patrick Manley, Chris Conte, our guests here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What's it like when times are tough, when you have all these friendships in the locker room, but – times do get tough during an NFL season. You get tested, and then there's the whole business aspect of it. Contracts mm-hmm. become involved and all that kind of stuff. How do you separate those things?
I think I like how you just pointed.
Yeah, you can answer a question now.
I think you just have to kind of compartmentalize, things. You have to have something outside of football to get you away from it. Because if you're always just stressing out, if you're just, things aren't going well, things are rough, and it's just, you can't have just a downer, day all the time. So really just get away. I don't have family but seeing friends, a girlfriend, anything to get away, go do something maybe away from football that you can get your mind off things and just kind of refocus and refresh and, come back to football a better person.
When you said family, that to me is the biggest thing. My wife and daughter, we'll go to dinner, do something Tuesday or off day. And, after a loss like we had, you got to do that because you're done with Detroit Lions. You're on to the next opponent. So to deal with that, you put your mind on something else for a few hours. And you got 16 weeks or 16 games before the playoffs, but you get away for a few hours and you go back to work and put your nose down and go.
I don't know if you guys have seen some of the reports out of New Orleans, but it seems as though they're spending a lot of time answering questions about the playing surface at Soldier Field. Mm. They have to leave a day early to come to Chicago because of the weather, the hurricane down there, Hurricane Karen, I think, or Tropical Storm Karen right now. Mm. And when your routine gets kind of switched up that way, mm-hmm. does it really make a difference?
I think it does a little bit. I know. I think it plays into a part why teams play better at home than on the road, because a lot of guys they have their routine that they go through. They, you know, they want to get to the hotel at a certain time. They want to go to bed at a certain time. They want to eat a certain type of food. You know, you might not even think about it, but it's a routine that you're on, a schedule that you're on. And I think just throwing that off, you know, when you travel, you just kind of. You have to be able to adapt and, you know, make the most out of it. But it definitely is easier when you're in a routine. You can sleep in your own bed and you kind of know what to expect. So things are easier, but you have to be able to adapt.
Yeah, I think as the more veteran you become, you've done that, like you've done it more. So it's that becomes more routine, but it does make a difference. I mean, it's like, you know, Friday night, you might have family dinner night. You have something that goes similar every week. Just keep, that's what I think, we're creatures of habit. That we like to do the mm-hmm. same thing every day, and that's the way. Just every Wednesday practice the same, every Thursday practice, you know, so we're just used to that. So if it does get thrown off, it can make a little difference, but you gotta overcome it.
Can you help me understand why such a big deal was made this week, where this whole Israel Adonijé thing, as though the Bears are running a defense that the Lions weren't expecting?
I think it was made more of a big deal than it is. I think you answered the question. You know what I mean? Like, don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's little things that they could have maybe not known, that someone who played in the system that long, you know, maybe little things. But overall, they have film of what we're doing, too, so it's not like anything we're doing is a secret. But, yeah, maybe they could pick up on some checks or different things. But, like you said, probably blown out more than it really was. So.
And ultimately, you still have to make a play. And that's one aspect. And then the other thing is, you heard what Bill Ford said about you guys.
I did.
Right? He's the head honcho with the Lions and their vice chairman. And he said that you guys, quote,
I'm a thug.
A bunch of thugs. And I'm a little intimidated, quite frankly, sitting on the other end
right?
of this round table.
But didn't he say, you got to take it, I don't know, whenever you hear anything like that, you got to take it in context where it was said and when it was said.
Mm-hmm. They say he was joking.
It wasn't like some dinner or something and he's entertaining the crowd, kind of. Wasn't that what is that, I think?
Right. But I can't imagine Mrs. McCaskey would do
so. No, I hope she get. I hope she got a call from him. I think she deserves one. I think if any of our guys said that about them, that they would make us call. So especially her, she deserves all that respect. And I don't think Chris is a thug. I'm not a thug. My wife didn't marry a thug, so.
I don't know too many thugs on the team.
So. Yeah, I just kind of laughed at it. I think it was a comment that was made, you know, at some.
In jest.
Yeah.
All right, we take a timeout. When we come back, there's some issues around the NFL that have been reported ad nauseum, but I want to get your take on it because you guys live it. So we'll talk about that stuff next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority.
The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Patrick Manilis along. I'm Zach Zaidman. Pleased to be joined by Chris Conti here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So you guys are getting ready for the Saints. We've talked a lot about that, and we'll get to the final keys a little bit later on in the segment. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL, including the whole Josh Freeman saga. And I don't know. I mean, of course, you guys have been following it because you're players in the league. And we've seen guys get benched before, whether you think it's fair or unfair. You know, Alex Smith a year ago lost his job, mm-hmm. and he didn't do anything wrong. Just got hurt. Kaepernick comes in, leads that team to the Super Bowl. Smith kept his mouth shut, and you know he wasn't happy about it. Ends up in a better situation this year for him. What's the right way to handle a tough situation personally?
Well, I think there's always more to the story. I think everybody says that, but there's got to be more to the story going on down there. Mm-hmm. There was other stuff about his drug test being leaked. I mean, that's
which is illegal.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, there's more to the story, and maybe it's just a situation he needed to distance himself from and tried everything to get out of there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know anybody that plays down there, and I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know the situation. I don't know if you do, Chris, but
I don't.
If it's that bad, you might need to get out of there for the betterment of your life that you just can't deal with. That's something you got to deal with every day, and the media and the coach and the owner, and maybe he just needed to get out of there. I don't know. I don't know what you think, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that there's more to the story than what's being reported on. So it's really hard to read into it too much because, you know, there could be any number of things going on there. But really, I think a great example of how someone handled it well was Alex Smith. I think he did a great job when he got benched. He sat on that sideline and was quiet about it and kind of just sat back. He was, you know, obviously wanted to be the starter, but he knew he'd get his opportunity somewhere else, and he has, and he's doing a great job this year.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that, you know, sometimes it says a lot for him keeping his mouth shut and watching the team go on a run that had to be very hard.
Yeah.
But then his opportunity came up, and he's got the Chiefs 4-0. So it's I think it says a lot about a person that, you know, maybe another general manager looks at him and says, hey, I can take this guy as a leader of my team or another player for my team, and, you know, he got a shot.
See, I always wonder, and obviously you guys are right, it seems like a toxic situation from the outside. There's a lot of disgruntled players in terms of what you read with the coach back and forth. But in a locker room, if a guy pops off after losing his job, how do you walk back in when you have to face the rest of your guys?
I don't think you can. A lot of times, sometimes there's things that are said that you can't take back in a moment of, you know, a heated moment. You can say things that can really, you know, damage a relationship personally. Unless you come back immediately, you know, and respond with an apology and you sit down and hash it out and talk about it and really work it out, there can be things said that, you know, you can't really come back from. And I think that's happened before with relationships with, you know, players and coaches, or, you know, players and management and whatnot. So really, sometimes you can't come back from those things.
I agree with that. And I think the other thing that would be is when, if guys talk about their own teammates or call out their own team, their own locker room, that's the biggest part. Maybe if a player has an issue with management and is a good teammate and the guys understand he might have popped off and he wants to take it back, the players will take him in. He's got to deal with his own issues outside, upstairs, or with the management. But once the player, if the player ever says anything about his own teammates, it's over.
You know, I find it fascinating that usually when you're disgruntled with a team because of the way they've treated you, that's off-season stuff. And you guys are almost understanding. You know, Lance Briggs, there was a time.
Well, there's a time and place for it.
Yeah.
That's when you do it.
When they put the franchise tag on him years back, he went off. I mean, just verbally attacked everybody and everything on every outlet in the world. But as soon as they were able to rectify the situation, he understood and brought everything in, and he's been a perennial Pro Bowl player ever since. You know, Matt Forte last year went through the same type of a situation, and, you know, as soon as everything got rectified, you could count on him being as professional as anyone in the building.
I mean, if we play a game, and everybody knows that, but it's also a business. It's our livelihood. Mm-hmm. So when you have a chance to, you know, set yourself up, or you feel like you're being wronged in the money department, the off season is the time to do that.
What happens when you feel like the coach isn't giving you an op? Because it's clear that there's coach-player discord in Tampa right now. How do you handle that? And do players ever come to you because of your years of experience in the league, Pat?
I think you do it privately. That's something you go one-on-one with the coach or the coach and the general manager, and you don't want to bring your other teammates, the rest of your teammates, down. You don't want to put it out in the media. You don't want to put it on TV and all that stuff. You want to keep that in-house, keep that indoors, and don't bring it to our locker room.
A lot of people are raving about what the Broncos are doing. And the points per game, it's ridiculous. But do you realize that the team that scored the second most points in the National Football League after the Broncos, the team that works in this building at Hallis Hall, and that's something, Pat, that you have not seen. Chris, you have not seen a lot of that in your time here. And a lot of it has to do with the offense putting points on the board.
Yeah, it's been a different year. I mean, we've scored defensive touchdowns, but our offense is, you know, scoring their butt off and moving the ball. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely a big difference just with the mentality of the offensive players, with just the way that they, you know, they carry themselves in the